Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Capp.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
Hi, this is JC Fox.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collins.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic.
Hello everybody, it's Omar Rudberg and you're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
The last couple of shows I've listened to the Troy Murphy Show, I've nearly had a couple of accidents because my eyes have been watering with laughter so much.
Is it me? Am I the problem? Surely I can't be the only one that thinks that the world is going bananas. With doctors last summer claiming the term morbidly obese to be ditched. Look, I understand morbidly obese is not a glamorous term, but unlike the morbidly obese lifestyle, one should not have to sugarcoat everything to explain that it's problematic.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I'm, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. Big thank you to BJ and Grossi for the first hour of drive. Yes, my friends, it's that glorious time of the week again, Thursday nights from 6 p.m. when the Troy Murphy Show graces the TSR bandwidth and airwaves for an exciting adventure of talk till 7 p.m. covering everything from the serious news to the weird and wacky wonderful news. It's where celebrities stop by for a chat and people far smarter than I join me to talk topics that need experts' opinion on. And of course, the Troy Murphy Show house band is in the studio for antics and songs all night long. On the show tonight, we talk to Federal Member for Hughes, MP Jenny Ware, about last night's forum on the Voice to Parliament. We'll also chat all things royal, you know, with the whole big weekend coming up. We'll chat the vaping laws and strange news from the art world, all that and so much more. And with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear on, of course, because that's how we do things here on the Troy Murphy Show, responsibly. Don't try this at home.
Crazy and insane-y, it's delirious but brainy, tastes a little gamey, the Troy Murphy Show.
Weird. Unique. It's just like a train wreck, you just can't stop listening.
So tune the radio dial on, Thursday night 6 from, we're gonna put the ray on, the Troy Murphy Show.
SSR FM 99.7.
Stay tuned. More from the Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
The Reading Writing Hotline is there to help adults who have difficulties with reading, writing, or spelling. Their number is 1300 655 06.
1300 655 06.
Go on, take the plunge.
2SSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2SSR.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7 p.m. on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
Now for your 2SSR four-day weather watch.
Tomorrow, Friday, we can expect a sunny day with light winds, top temps of 22 degrees with a low of 10 overnight. The weekend, Saturday, sunny with a max temp reaching 22 degrees. Sunday, a shower or two with temps reaching 19. And Monday of next week, a partly cloudy day, cooling down to only 17 degrees as the maximum temperature, with a low of 8 overnight.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Troy Murphy Show. Now, last night, our local member for Hughes, MP Jenny Ware, held a forum on the voice referendum. And it was a respectful debate between Yes supporter, journalist Joe Hildebrand, and No advocate, former Prime Minister Tony Abbott. And joining us on the phone to talk about the event is our MP for Hughes, Jenny Ware. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. Firstly, thank you so much for organising last night's event. It's refreshing to see a federal member for the area so actively engaged with the community, more so than just cutting ribbons and handing out awards. So thank you.
First of all, Troy, thank you for having me on your show, and thank you to your listeners. It was a great event last night. I had said that I campaigned last year on a fresh start for Hughes, and that's what I want to see. I've been there now for almost a year. We're coming up to a year on the 21st of May, and I am doing mobile offices. I've got surveys out there. I want to hear from the Hughes electorate as to what's important to them. And for me, the voice referendum is something that is of national importance. It's very important to both Indigenous Australians and non-Indigenous Australians. And I was delighted with the way things went last night. We had a very good cross-section of the Hughes electorate, and I thank everybody that turned up. And we also had people from outside of the Hughes electorate. We had two great panellists, Joe Hildebrand, who is well-known reporter, and an active, a very much of personality, and I know that Joe wouldn't mind me saying that. And then to get Tony Abbott, the Honourable Tony Abbott, a former Prime Minister and a person who has deep interest and engagement with the Indigenous community. Tony had sort of kept his light under a bushel a little bit, but he used to, even as Prime Minister, he used to spend a week a year or sometimes more in remote communities throughout the country, understanding what is going on in remote communities and trying to understand the issues and then trying to address them, because we clearly have a very big difference, we call it closing the gap, that we need to address with all of the indications, the life markers, as I call them, between Indigenous Australians and non-Indigenous Australians. And at every level, whether it be health, education, housing, domestic violence, recidivism, representations in the court, the Indigenous community is overrepresented in the worst aspects of all of those life markers, and we need to do a lot better. So it was, I think, a great event last night, and I was very glad, Troy, that you were there and you were able to cover it. So thank you for being part of it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me there. It was a great debate between the two, Joe Hildebrand. He's got the gift of the gab, and Tony Abbott with his ability to recall information is phenomenal. You can tell why they're both great at what they do. Now, when it came to the speakers, who, in your opinion, made the stronger case?
I'm actually not going to call it. Yep. I moderated it, And what I was really pleased to see was it was a respectful debate. They sparred a bit. They'd known each other for a long time. But what I liked about it was that they were able to bring intellectual rigour to a very difficult issue. And they did it in a way that they could debate and disagree without it descending into anger or personal attacks. And that is why I was delighted when both Joe and Tony had agreed to be the panellists on that forum.
And what were some of the key points addressed by both sides, Joe and Tony, that really stood out for you?
I think that the first thing is the constitutional recognition of Indigenous Australians has been part of Liberal Party platform for a very long time, and that was acknowledged by both Tony as a former Prime Minister and also by Joe. And some people, there have been comments around this is just symbolism, but Troy, symbolism is important. If symbolism wasn't important, we wouldn't have uniforms, we wouldn't have flags, we wouldn't have badges. Every weekend in my electorate, people are out there, they're supporting the Sharks. I've come out of the closet as a Dragons supporter.
Oh.
But people are out there, they're wearing... I know, I'm just about to lose, a whole lot of the electorate.
Don't worry.
Cronulla's my second team. Let me say, Sharks are my second team.
I just dumped the Sharks as number one for the Dolphins.
Well, you're in trouble as well.
I'm in a lot of trouble. Sorry.
But that's what I thought. So we canvassed things like constitutional recognition, and then we went through some of the... I have said that the way that the question has been currently framed by the Albanese Labor government is problematic. It has brought into it issues around executive government, and I think... I'm a lawyer by profession.
Yeah.
But when we talk about there being representations to executive government means the Commonwealth bureaucracy. So this means that potentially, if that is entrenched into our constitution, and our constitution is our foundational document, it's our country's handbook, if you like, as to how the federal parliament can make laws for Australians. It's been a document that has served us extremely well. I still think Australia, we became a federated nation on 1st of January 1901. Our constitution has stood the test of time. We have very express powers, and the way that we work as a federation and then with the states is that the Commonwealth in our constitution is given very express powers to make laws. And then the states are given what we call the residual. So, and I don't want to bore your listeners too much with details about our constitutional makeup, but relevantly for the voice argument, there is a power within the constitution to make laws with respect to certain races of people. And it's what we call the races power. And this has been used to make laws with respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. So there is the argument, particularly with constitutional recognition, and I say just recognition, not anything further, which is if we have in our constitution the express ability to make laws with respect to Indigenous Australians, there needs to be a recognition that Indigenous Australians were the original inhabitants of our country, and that can be done in the Constitution in a way that it's simply expressed as a statement. And I think that it is symbolic, but as I said, symbolism matters, and that I think would go a long way towards healing a lot of the perhaps the wrongs that are perceived to have happened to our Indigenous Australians. They're the oldest surviving civilization in the world, 65,000 years. So we I think we need to entrench in our constitution the fact that Indigenous Australians were the original inhabitants of our country. And since that time, we've had, I talk about it as the Book of Australia. When I go to citizenship ceremonies, I said there are three chapters to our Book of Australia. There is our Indigenous Australians, oldest civilization in the world existing today. Then we have then been built on European institutions, which has included things like the Westminster system of government, democracy, our rule of law, the right to remain silent, for example, within a court system, your right to a jury trial in certain circumstances. They're all very important institutions that have come from European settlement of our country. Then our third chapter, or our third wave, was the immigration, particularly, that started after World War II. We saw Europe absolutely decimated by the most dreadful war that our world has ever known. And from that, we, Australia, first of all, opened our doors to particularly immigrants and a lot of displaced persons from Eastern Europe, Western Europe, and then from that we've continued that multicultural tradition of welcoming people from all around the globe. And in my electorate of Hughes, we have people from the subcontinent, we have people from Asia, Africa, the Americas, everywhere around the Middle East, everywhere around the world, we have welcomed immigrants. And we are the most successful multicultural country in the world. So from all of that, I think that the Book of Australia has been very well written and will continue to be well written by sort of those three, I suppose, pillars of what makes up our story.
And as it should, and hopefully it continues to succeed. Now, Jenny, you've previously said that your position on The Voice will be finalised based on community consult in order to reflect the Hughes electorate. As it stands now, after your mobile office consultations and the community forum on Wednesday night, where does Hughes that has represented itself to you stand?
Hughes, we are still collating. I've put out a survey as well of the electorate, and that's and I'd ask any of your listeners to please respond to it. They can find it on my website. Those responses are still being collated. We've had a really good response on it. We've had a lot bigger response than we normally receive on most surveys. So once that's collated, I'll have a better idea about where the electorate is sitting with this. A lot of the feedback I've had from last night was that people are still a little bit unsure about the detail of what the Albanese Labor government means about a constitutionally enshrined voice to Parliament. And there have been a lot of questions asked of the government, and so far the government seems a bit reluctant to answer a lot of those questions. So I think that the sort of forum that we had last night, I mean, I'm one of 151 members that sit in the House of Representatives. I would think it would be in the government's interest to be hosting forums such as the one I had last night throughout other electorates as well, to educate Australians and to allow Australians to ask questions about what they are going to be asked to vote on in October. The government said it's October. I'm sure it will be, but it's up to the government. And we've only had eight occasions since 1901 when Australians have voted to change the constitution. So we've had eight successful referenda, and Australians are protective of our constitution, which we should be. And so I think that holding community forums, town hall meetings, is a way that the community can properly engage and ask questions. We can do it through social media, and that's one forum. But I was really heartened last night. I had a lot of people in the audience, including a lot of people from my electorate who I know are over the age of 70. Now, a lot of people in that age bracket are on Facebook and are on Instagram, mostly so they can follow what their grandchildren are doing. But I think it is really essential, particularly as parliamentarians, that we are directly connecting with our community. And the best way of doing that is through being out with them in a room and allowing the hard questions and the easy questions and collaborating with them and finding out what it is that really matters to them.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about the hard question. Well, the unfortunate ending of Wednesday night's forum, when the Indigenous man, and I never got his name, and I've been trying to find his name, when he took the stage, I want to gauge what your thoughts were when you reflect on what happened.
I think so. The way that the forum ran last night was Joe and Tony both had around 10 minutes each to give an overview of their position. So Joe was for the Yes campaign, Tony was for the No campaign, and they both gave their opening. I had then a series of questions I put to both of them, and then after that I threw the debate open and I said, right, well, we've got some time now, we'll take questions from the floor. And I was really heartened. We had a really beautiful acknowledgement of country done by Auntie Gail Smith, and we also had another one of our locals there, Auntie Dolly, and her community and her supporters. So we had representations there from our local Indigenous communities, which was very important, and we had questions from the floor that included questions from one of Auntie Dolly's people. The first question that I took actually was from one of the Indigenous supporters. We had a lot of hands in the air, Troy, and I had to be respectful of the panelists' time. I also had to be respectful of the audience's time. And so we had about 20 to 30 minutes of questions from the floor, from a cross-section of the audience. And so I was concluding and just sort of wrapping up. Joe had both done their sort of closing, I suppose. And then somebody asked me, can you hear from somebody else? Can you hear from somebody from an Indigenous person? And I was apologetic. I just said, I'm sorry, we've simply run out of time. And then the person, and I know Troy, I did not catch his name and I still don't know his name. I think he said that he was an Indigenous person from somewhere around the Mid-North Coast. He then took to the stage and said some words. The event had pretty well concluded at that time, and on the advice of the AFP, there were a couple of AFP officers in the room. They said, "We need you to leave now, Jenny." So I acted on their advice, and the event had concluded at that point.
Can we clarify a few things that have gone out into the media today, or rectify a few things that have gone out to the media today? Did you or did you not ask for the Facebook live stream to be shut down?
No, I didn't ask for the Facebook live stream to be shut down. The Facebook was live streamed by my office, and it concluded when the event had concluded, so there was no shutting down. I've read or I've been told about some of the media reports that I shut down the debate. I didn't. The event was finished.
Yeah.
And so that's why the live stream. And I know too that Sky News were there. They had recorded it. So there would also be footage of from Sky News as well. And clearly I have no control over Sky. So there would also be footage from the entire night from Sky as well.
And the other misconception that's out there that the audience members walked out when the Aboriginal man got to stage.
Look, I was standing at the side at that stage, and I do. There were quite a lot of people from the audience that did leave at that point, and I think simply because they, like me, can reach the event had concluded. So yes, there were a number of people that did leave the room at that point.
Jenny, I'd hate to end on a sour note, but it was a wonderful event. Thank you so much for putting it on and for taking the time to chat with us today.
Oh, thank you, Troy. It's an absolute pleasure. And again, and for all of your listeners, thank you. I know that many of your listeners have already contributed to the debate. They've filled out surveys. Very happy for them to continue to do so. And I look forward to being on your show and speaking with you again soon.
Stick around. Coming up shortly, we talk all things royal as we have been asked to pledge allegiance to the new king. Will you be pledging your allegiance? Jump on the Troy Murphy Show Twitter page and vote in our poll. But first, new music from our boy Omar Rudberg. It's called She Fell in Love in the Summer.
She gets a little high, but she feels a little low. She's seen a lot of things, but she's still not old. She lights another cigarette, 'cause she likes the way it shines. She tells a little lie, 'cause who would ever know? She fell in love in the summer. Her life is just a dance, and she believed someone loved her. Thinking I'm as free I'll never be. One day she met a boy, he treated her well. So good that she didn't wanna hurt herself. But he was just a summer breeze, and it drifted with the wind. She was hitting bottom again. She fell in love in the summer, but life is just a dance, and she believed someone loved her. Thinking I'm as free I'll ever be. Pretending, tired of feeling like a loser. Was warm, got so cold, without letting anyone know. She made up her mind after summer, 'cause life was just a dance, and she believed no one loved her. Screaming, I'm as free I'll ever be.
Hello, everybody. It's Omar Rudberg, and you're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Never miss a beat. Follow The Troy Murphy Show Facebook page. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Attention, residents of the Sutherland Shire, it's community service announcement time. The Natural Skincare Workshop is taking place at Cronulla on Thursday the 17th of August from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Have you ever wanted to make your own natural skin products? Now's your chance with this natural skincare workshop at Cronulla Library. This hands-on workshop will demonstrate how creams, lotions, hair treatments, scrubs, and more can be easily made at home using common household ingredients and utensils. Tickets are essential. To attend, search Natural Skincare Workshop on the eventbrite.com.au website to book your ticket today.
The Troy Murphy Show. Driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Troy Murphy Show. Now, my friends, the art world has been known for its avant-garde creations, but it seems that one artist has taken it to the next level with their latest installation. His name, and I'm going to butcher this, but we'll give it a go anyway, Maurizio Catalan. He installed a comedy art piece, and it features a banana duct taped to a wall, and that banana changes every few days, of course, because, you know, bananas go off. Now, this seemingly simple piece of art has captured the attention of the world. Probably not because of its artistic talent, because of how ludicrous it is. With previous iterations of the piece selling for over $120,000 for a banana duct taped to a wall, making it one of the most expensive bananas in the world. However, it does seem that not everyone is willing to treat this installation with the reverence that it deserves. Get this, a South Korean university student identified only as No, spelled N-O-H, No, I think that's right. Well, he's made headlines this week after eating said artwork banana that was part of the installation. Now, No claimed, oh dear, this is ridiculous, that he was hungry after skipping breakfast and thought it would be interesting to eat the banana as part of an art experiment. But I didn't stop there. After eating the banana, he reattached the banana peel to the wall. What would that make the artwork half what it's worth? Claiming that he was creating a new form of modern art. In a follow-up interview, No said that he thought that damaging a work of modern art could be interpreted as a kind of artwork within artwork, adding that he came up with the idea to reattach the banana peel, thinking that it was a fun way of looking at it. The incident has sparked a lot of debate within the art community about what constitutes art and where the line should be drawn. You think? With some people arguing that No's actions were a disrespectful act of vandalism. No, you know what's a disrespectful act of vandalism? Is when people throw tomato soup at classic artworks. That's a disrespectful act of vandalism. Eating a banana of modern art, that's just funny. Back to the article. While others see it as a provocative commentary on the commodification of art, I tend to agree with that. Now, regardless where you stand on this issue, one thing is clear. The art world has gone bananas! See what I did there? I made a joke. It wasn't funny, but we'll move on. Perhaps this incident will inspire other artists to create installations that double as snacks, or maybe it'll encourage more people to think critically about the nature of art and how it is valued. Only time will tell. Oh, the studio phone is ringing. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hello there, Troy. It's Aunt Ethel here.
Oh, dear. Hello there, the Troy Murphy Show's Aunt Ethel.
Troy. Oh, dear, Troy, I think you've missed the point here.
Oh, and what point is that, Aunt Ethel?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it?
Please do enlighten us.
Troy, $120,000 for a banana.
Well, yes, that does seem a little bit steep.
A bit deep. That's highway robbery, Troy. Highway robbery. You know, I know prices are going up with the cost of living and all, but $120,000 for a banana stuck to a wall?
Oh, I think that price tag is due to the banana being classified as art, Aunt Ethel.
What, was it laced with gold? Is it the last banana on the planet?
Well, no.
If it's that easy to charge $120,000 for a banana, Troy, I'm stopping by Coles on the way home to get a banana and some duct tape, and I'll one-up the art gallery by sticking it on an original 1950s wallpaper in my living room.
You know, you've got a point there, Aunt Ethel.
This modern art is all wishy-washy hogwash, Troy. This is what is being considered as modern art when put up against classic art like Leonardo and Monet. Well, look, I tell you what, Troy, if blood is on a wall, is what is classified as art. The artists these days are being lazy, and the art community are being treated like mushrooms. Kept in the dark and fed shit.
Thank you, Aunt Ethel! Aunt and art critic, or maybe realist, Aunt Ethel calling in to share her opinion. Thank you, Aunt Ethel. Now, back to the banana before we go. I hope it was delicious and that young Noah learns to have breakfast in the morning, especially when he's hanging around modern art. Seems to be the thing you have to do nowadays.
Catch up with all the latest news from The Troy Murphy Show. Visit www.thetroymurphyshow.com.
Let's take a look at Sutherland Shire news that broke this week. Sutherland Shire police have launched an investigation into an alleged incident of voyeurism that occurred at a shopping centre in Miranda last Friday afternoon. According to reports, a person held a mobile phone over the top of a toilet cubicle to record an adult male victim. After conducting inquiries, the police arrested a 35-year-old man on Sunday and executed a search warrant. The suspect has been charged with observed person in private act without consent and contravene prohibition order. The accused appeared in court and was refused bail and is set to appear in Sutherland local court to face further charges against him. The Sutherland Shire Police have not released any further details of the case and an investigation is ongoing.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
He's not drunk. He's just tired. One of the three big killers on New South Wales roads. Don't trust your tired self. How tired are you? Visit testyourtiredself.com.au.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Hello, it's John Nartai here from Saturday Jams, and I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. How do you like your R&B served?
Fast.
Get down to Saturday night.
So.
Switching the positions.
Old.
You're making it hard for me.
Or new.
Do you like your taste? Do you like them just for me?
I hope the trap wears your tight.
If you answered yes, well, I have the show for you. Tune into 2SSR every Saturday evenings from 5 to 7 for Saturday Jams on 99.7 FM.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Troy Murphy Show. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
FM 99.7. Do you podcast on iTunes? Search The Troy Murphy Show and listen back online.
Attention, residents of the Sutherland Shire, it's community service announcement time! The Balcony Vegetable Gardening Workshop is taking place on Thursday the 18th of May from 5:30 to 7:30pm at the Sutherland Library. Have you always wanted to grow your own vegetables but don't think you have enough space? Well, think again, because this Balcony Vegetable Gardening Workshop will prove you can grow your own veggies regardless of space. Tickets are essential to attend. Search Balcony Vegetable Gardening Workshop on the eventbrite.com.au website. That's the Balcony Vegetable Gardening Workshop, Thursday the 18th of May from 5:30 to 7:30pm at the Sutherland Library.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6pm.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Troy Murphy Show as we put our somewhat serious hats on as we take a look at this next topic, of which is the upcoming coronation of King Charles and the controversial invitation for millions of people to pledge allegiance to him. What? The invitation to pledge allegiance to the king has been met with mixed reaction, with campaign groups of the Republic branding it an offensive and tone-deaf gesture that holds the people into contempt. However, Cardinal Vincent Nicholas, the most senior Catholic clergyman in England, sees it differently, quite differently, in fact. He described it as a remarkable moment and a lovely invitation for people to express their loyalty and support for the new king. Look, as a monarch, I'll put my hand up and say, yes, I believe in the monarchy. I'm all for the pomp and pageantry that is the royal family. Love it. I do see it as a remarkable moment and a lovely invitation, as quoted by Cardinal Vincent Nicholas. Now, for the first time in history, the public will have an active role in the coronation, being invited to say the oath to the king out loud. The Archbishop of Canterbury will lead the ceremony, asking all who so desire, so it's voluntary, you don't have to do it, in the Abbey and elsewhere, to say together, I think the words will be along the lines of, I swear that I pay true allegiance to your majesty and to your heirs and successors according to the law, so help me God. Last part, you know, I understand that the royal family is there because of some holy divine appointment, but I'm not religious, but most of it, yeah, I'm all called for. Now, following the oath, there will be a fanfare, and then the most reverent Justin Welby will say, God save the king, with all asked to respond, God save King Charles, long live the king, long live King Charles, may the king live forever. It's part of the pageantry of the whole ceremony. Now, the new homage of the people will replace the traditional homage of peers, and it is hoped that this will reduce the length of the service, which is expected to last around 2 hours. And I think it's happening this Saturday, our time. Not quite sure. I should be on top of all this stuff, but I'm not. But anyway, what do you think of this invitation for the public to pledge allegiance to King Charles? Is it a lovely invitation, as the Cardinal Vincent Nicholas has described, or like the royal, as the Republicans have, those for a republic have described it, is it an offensive and tone-deaf gesture? Jump on Twitter, search Troy Murphy, that's my Twitter, and comment in our online poll that is currently up there. The question we're asking is, will you pledge allegiance to King Charles? Now, this is where I'm in two minds, because I love the monarchy. I don't think I'm going to say it out loud when it happens, but I will acknowledge. And, you know, yes, he is the king, and he is the king of Australia. So, but I don't think I'm going to be watching it by myself at home anyway. I don't think I'm going to stand up. There's no one to say it in front of. But, you know, I recognise. I don't think I have to say it as part of a pledge. I think more so, you know, if they were to really look at this seriously, part of the pledge would be for the king to pledge his allegiance to the people, that
are under the monarch. I think that would be a less tone-deaf gesture. No, I'm not saying that what is happening is tone-deaf, but I can understand why people are saying that it's tone-deaf. I think to combat that would be for the king to pledge allegiance to serving the people as well. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to say it out loud, but I will acknowledge it when it happens. So is there a third option? A half-half? Let us know. Jump on the Troy Murphy Show Twitter page and vote in our current online poll. Stick around, because coming up shortly, we're going to talk about the changes to vaping laws and the increase in tobacco taxes. Yeah, I don't think it's all quite what it's made up to be. And nor will you, after you hear what I've got to say. But first, new music. Well, it's doing the... I don't know if it's new music or not. It's new to me, but it's doing the rounds on Twitter at the moment. It's called Cupid. But this is the Twitter sped up version by Way Too Fast. It's now on your radios here for the Troy Murphy Show on 2SSR FM 99.7. I hope it's romantic.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Hi, Kirk Pengilly from INXS here. And whether it's music, sweet things, puppies, movies, we all love our treats. But our eyes need treating too. 300,000 Australians, including me, are affected by glaucoma. Diagnosed early, glaucoma can be managed. Left undiagnosed, it can cause blindness. So treat yourself by treating your eyes to a simple test. Book your test at treatyoureyes.org.au today.
Did you miss your favourite show? Did you want to listen back again? 2SSR is now on demand, so you can listen back whenever you want. Simply click on the show you want to listen back to on the live program guide by going to the 2SSR.com.au homepage. There you will find the show's on-demand player with the latest from your favourite show, music included. Take 2SSR wherever you go. It's as easy as click, play, enjoy.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downing. Gerald Albright.
Mm-hmm.
Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
Will he get through an entire show without offending someone? We are so open your with the Troy Murphy Show. Have a yabba-dabba-doo time. A dabba-doo time. You'll have a gay old time.
The Troy Murphy Show. Driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
All right, let's put our serious hats on for our final segment tonight here on the Troy Murphy Show as we take a look at the changes to tobacco laws here in Australia. The Australian government has announced a massive smoking crackdown that will see recreational vaping banned and the tax on tobacco products increase over the next 3 years. Now, why am I talking about this? Well, you know, it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing when you read between the lines of what's actually going on and the potential motive behind it. Now, don't get me wrong. Smoking is bad, and this is all aimed at kids who have picked up vaping because it's cool and because of the flavors, and that's not a good thing. So whilst I in part agree with it, I also don't. Under the plan, the excise on tobacco will increase by 5% over the next 3 years, generating an extra $3 billion in tax revenue for the government. Great, in one hand, you know, more money for the government to spend on things that need it. But, you know, tobacco is already heavily taxed. And why am I being a little bit of a cynic about this? Well, it's because the government say they do this. They increase the cost of cigarettes, which it's about $50 for a packet of 24 nowadays. I remember when I was a teen, you know, you were lucky to pay $13 or something. The price has gone up. It's mostly tax. But the reason why I'm a bit of a cynic about this is because, like I said, the government say it's to stop people from smoking. An expensive cigarette is a cigarette that no one wants to buy is essentially their motto. But I pay attention to the news and I listen to what they say. We only had Jim Chalmers, the health minister. Jim Chalmers is the, He's the, he's a finance guy. Mark Butler's making this tobacco announcement. Jim Chalmers, he only recently complained about losing $5 billion a year in taxes recently because people were moving from tobacco cigarettes to vapes. And this is where this whole thing is a little bit, let's read between the lines and see what's actually going on here. While they smoke in mirrors over here, the truth and the reality is on the other side. Now, during an address to the National Press Club, Health Minister Mark Butler officially unveiled the crackdown on recreational vaping, the importation on non-pharmaceutical vaping products, saying that it would be prohibited, meaning that vapes will only be able to be purchased with a prescription from pharmacies, and single-use disposable vapes will be banned, and the volume and concentration of nicotine will have to be labelled on the package, and the package will then have to be plain package like what they do with cigarettes. Now, this is great because, you know, kids are vaping and it's a major health issue to young people. He did say in his speech, and I quote, "Vaping has now become the number one behavioural issue in high schools, and it's becoming widespread in primary schools as well." All right. I back that 100%. Totally. Totally. Because over the past 12 months, Victoria's Poisons Hotline has taken 50 calls about children under the age of 4 ingesting vapes. That's 50 calls too many. because vapes contain more than 200 chemicals and they don't really belong in the lungs. We all know that. Vaping is bad for you. It will still be legal to buy vapes with a prescription from a chemist to help smokers quit. That's the reason why vapes were invented, to help people get off tobacco cigarettes and vape for a while they get used to not smoking. And it's been proven to work. But the federal government said that they will work with states and territories to close down the sale of vapes in convenience stores and other retail settings, saying that the crackdown will address the biggest loophole in Australia's healthcare history. Ah, remember that quote. And I quote him when I say that. Biggest loophole in Australia's healthcare history. I think he's mixing things up, because I think he meant to say the biggest loophole in tax revenue. Yeah. So let's take a look at this. Let's break this down. The rise in cigarette tax, which is 5% each year for the next 3 years, will equate to $3.3 billion, which will mean that the government annually is bringing $12.4 billion in tobacco taxes as a total. $12.4 billion. And, you know, you think, okay, that's a fair chunk. Well, let's take a look at that in reality to other things. $6 billion a year. Only six. Half. $6 billion is what the government takes in petrol taxes per year. That's how much cigarettes are being taxed. Call me a cynic here. The government doesn't really tax vaping. And they tax the buggery out of tobacco products. Part of me feels, on top of the trying to look after the young people who are vaping and vaping becoming prevalent in high schools and primary schools as well, with some vapes looking like highlighters so parents don't know that their kids are vaping, which is outrageous. But part of me feels as though the government, and I am wearing my tinfoil hat here, they complained about losing $5 billion in taxes recently because people were moving from cigarettes to vapes. By banning vapes, people still need their nicotine. They're going to go back to cigarettes. What's highly taxed? Cigarettes. And what will continue to be highly taxed at an extra 5% each year for the next 3 years, bringing in an extra $3.3 billion? Cigarettes. And here's where it also doesn't make sense. You know, the government is all, oh, let's protect the kids. Let's protect the health. Again, I quote, the biggest loophole in Australia's healthcare history. Banning vaping. But yet governments are legalizing pill testing and decriminalizing illicit drugs. Yeah, so drugs that are already illegal, they're decriminalizing possessing small amounts. Yet they're getting rid of vaping. I don't know. Something smells fishy about this. It's like, we're doing this for the kids, but really we're doing this so we get extra money so we can spend. I don't know. Look, this is where I'm torn. It's a good thing. Vaping is out of control. But I still think the motive behind it is not exactly what the government is saying. Quote again, biggest loophole in Australia's healthcare history. I think they meant to say biggest loophole in Australia's taxpaying history. Ponder that.
And it's all over, just like that.
And that's it. The Troy Murphy Show, done and dusted for another week. Thank you for tuning in, my friends. I'll be back next week. I think next week I'm moving to 7 p.m. for another edition of The Troy Murphy Show. Yep, we're shifting things around here at 2's. BJ and Grozy are getting to. I'm moving back an hour. If you missed any part of today's show or want to listen back to any of the ranting or raving or interviews or whatever we had on tonight's program from tonight's extravaganza, you can listen back on demand by clicking The Troy Murphy Show on the live program guide that you can find on the 2SR.com.au website. Until next week, bye for now.
Two SRFM, your community, your station.